We need to remember what Q School is. Q School is not a jolly up with your mates. It's not a yearly holiday at the darts. It is where ambitious amateurs, professional players, are trying to get a card to serve their living. It's their livelihood. Hello, welcome to the Mission Darts podcast on episode 22. I've just been reliably informed. Unlike episode 23, which is the name of this recording, last week I did kind of get it right. I said 22-ish. But this is one of the very last episodes. There will be a couple more coming soon on this channel. But if you do want to catch all the podcasts, you need to go to the Mission Darts podcast YouTube channel to catch all the episodes in full. From episode one to now, and also we're going to be hot clipping as well. So if me and Andy talk about something interesting, which probably isn't going to be that often, we're going to be able to clip it up, so you'll be able to just watch back your favourite moments. If you want to see Andy rant about something, which I'm sure he's going to do today, despite joining us from his holidays.
I am indeed, Matt, and I think you might have scared a few people there because you said one of the last Mission podcasts and people are going, they're not finishing, surely. No, it's just one of the last ones on this channel. We're moving it to its own channel so the podcast watchers and listeners can have us all to themselves, like you say, with some extra bits as well on there. So the link is in the description below and it's at Mission Darts Podcast. But yeah, nice to see you, mate. We don't let our fans down. So I'm here. I'm in Mallorca currently. As you can see, got a bit of a red face because the weather's fabulous. Great to be with you.
So just remember that when Dave jumps in the comment section and goes, oh, Andy's audio's not quite as good this week. He's on holiday. So he's still giving
I'm on
you
an iPhone. Time.
But not only that, Andy, I'm going to join you on the holiday vibe today. What I've done today for this podcast is, and I'm going to do this for the audio listeners as well, is I've put my Iron Brew in a wine glass. So
I'm impressed.
Now I feel
in fact, like you I'm shouldn't have said it was Iron Brew because people would be going, what's that wine you're drinking there, Matt? That's like, tell me it was the only clean glass you could find. You thought, I'm going to put it in a wine glass.
Comes up to wash up.
Well, you enjoy your Iron Brew. I'm on water as normal. But I need it to keep up my hydration out here because believe it or not, I know you guys are suffering in the minus degrees at home and the snow and the ice, but it's 18 degrees here in Mallorca, which is pretty spectacular for a 2-hour flight.
It is cold at times. I was coming back, so I'm on commentary this week on the Super Series, and I was coming back earlier, and I've never had this before. My forehead was so cold, it was giving me brain ache, and I had to put my arm up like this just to try and help myself out a little bit.
Oh, blimey. Oh, that's a brain new one, ache. Brain ache. There's a new that I've never heard before. But again, as we say every week, Matt, lots to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's do this in order, shall we? I know we don't normally do things in date order because of how we record these podcasts, but let's go back to the World Championship because you wanted to discuss the final.
Yeah, I did. And, you got it nailed on as normal. You got the result and everything like that. And I thought MVG was going to put up a bigger fight. I thought he was going to use all his experience. And by that, I don't mean cheating or doing anything against the rules. I just thought he would slow Littler down. I thought he would give it large a few times. And it was a bit damp. It was a bit like, just didn't excite me like I thought it was going to. And it led me to think, Matt, MVG is clearly not at his best. Now, that seems a weird thing to say when he's just been world champion runners-up and he's, number three in the world. He's not at his best. We are old enough to remember MVG when he was almost unstoppable for 3 or 4 years and he won everything. There was almost a time when we said, will he win every major this year? He was that good. So my question first of all is, does MVG at his best beat Littler? And I'm posing that to you.
I've got a couple of answers to this now. So when we look at this matchup, a lot of people misconceive it a little bit and think MVG played poorly. MVG didn't play poorly, he was outclassed.
No.
He played well, he was outclassed. And there's a difference with that. Someone can lose a game playing well and just be outclassed by the better player on the day. And that was this. And do you know what it reminded me of? Very much so. Rob Cross versus Phil Taylor. Because when Phil Taylor lost the World Championship final to Rob Cross when Cross won his world title, Phil Taylor didn't play bad. He averaged over 100, but he got battered. And he never looked like he was ever likely to win the match. And he was lucky to get the sets he did. It felt exactly the same. It felt like that exact sort of same final again. And Dan Dawson summed it up for me brilliantly when he said, the baton has been passed. MVG is no longer in the conversation of the best player in the world. It's the Luke conversation. Is it Luke Littler? Is it Luke Humphries? MVG is out of that conversation. And I think at his best right now, he'd beat a 17-year-old Luke Littler, yes. But what's scary is Luke Littler's getting better.
Yeah, that's what's scary, is that he's come to the TV stage and adopted it as his own at 17 years old. You know, makes the world final last year, wins it this year. A couple of majors along, if you want to call them majors, along the way this year. We knew he couldn't possibly catch Luke Humphries because of how far Luke is ahead. And I think that right now, I don't think it would be fair to say Luke Littler is the best player in the world, because until he gets that, you earn that world ranking number one. And no question Luke Humphries has earned that over a 12-month period. Is Luke Littler the best player in the world this week or this month? Yes. Yes. But I think Luke Humphries is going to want to bear this. And I think 2025 is going to be the battle of the two Lukes. Now, that's not to say, God, that's not disregarding all the other players. Like, it's a two-horse race. Of course it's not. And I think there's going to be some great games coming up. But it just does make me think that. But you're absolutely right. How good can Luke Littler be? You know, is he at his peak? We've both said no. He's not at his peak. How scary.
But just think about it, actually. You're talking about our day. Our day was originally traditionally dominated by Phil Taylor, then dominated by Michael van Gerwen. And you know the players as well as I do. You've been around darts as much as I have. You will know when that draw comes out, people go, I want to be in the opposite half to Phil Taylor, because they know the best they're going to get is the chance to get to final. What do you want now? Do you want to be in the top half or the bottom? Because world number one and two is Humphries and Littler. So there is nowhere to escape. Isn't it? Yeah. You've got to beat one of them if you're going to make the final.
At no point during Phil's reign was the number two in the world that strong that you always wanted to avoid Phil. And there was various world number twos. Obviously, Phil was dominant for so many years. But nobody ever looked at that. They just looked at Phil. Where's Phil? Oh, thank God he's in the other half. Great. I've got a great chance here. You know, oh, God, I'm on Phil's board today. You know, it's like, oh, my God. So, whereas now, like you say, do you want Luke Humphries or do you want Luke Littler? Because you're getting one of them. That's a scary thought, isn't it?
You might get both.
Yeah.
Because if you beat your guy, you expect the other one's going to come through. You might have to beat both to win the title.
You're gonna have to
this becomes the situation. Now, I think with the rank, with the system now, with them being one and two, I think potentially, no, I'm going to say it, the days of these surprise winners now are going to be short-lived. Your Mike Dedeker, Richie Edhouse, people like that who sort of come through the field a little bit in those ranked events. Now, not so much the Players' Championship finals, the European Championships are based over a one-year criteria. I mean, you will match play, you will Grand Prix.
And the Euros best of 11. So that's, I think that gives people a better chance. It's a short run. The minute you get into world match play, best of 35s and yeah, good luck with that one, guys. Because Luke,
what we'll do, Andy, is I'm going to call this now. If the world match play is won by anyone but Luke Littler or Luke Humphries, we'll take our filming crew up to Blackpool one day. I will run down the beach and fully dressed, I will do a Tom Daly into the sea. Fully dressed, straight in.
Now, that is something that we're definitely going to tag on this podcast as the moment that, I love one of them to get beat first round and then you're reliant on the other one for the hold of the world match play. But, that's a brave statement. And I kind of have to agree with you. I'm looking, you know, it's almost what's next? Not the Premier League. It's the UK.
You said you agree. But, does that mean you agree that me and you will both be running fully dressed and doing a Tom Daley into the sea?
Yeah, I think we will. I think that's something. Yeah, yeah. And we'll get that on video. Yeah. If neither of the leaks, if neither of the Lukes win the World Match Play, we'll go and jump in the sea. Yeah, we will. Absolutely, we will. At least it'll be July, so it won't be as cold as January.
I don't know. But, you know our filming schedules and you know our timing. It'll probably be in December when we could actually get around
to it. It probably will. But, I mean, overall, if we're summing up the World Championship, I've loved it, Matt. I've loved it. Quite a few shocks. Some players pulling out the bag. You know, a shout-out to Robert Owens, Kevin Doherty that have had phenomenal tournaments that are probably going to change their lives. A great World Championship and a right winner for me. The right person won it. He was talked about. He was favourite. Favourites are favourites for a reason, and he proved it.
You've seen the job I did. You've overseen it a few times where I basically give predictions and things to the bookies and what have you. One of my various jobs that I do, and I filmed a video and I made four predictions and they all won. And it's when you said their favourites, because someone put in the comments to that thing, they went, I thought you're supposed to be an expert. All they did was give the favourites, but the favourites won. Like, what did you want me to do? Like, lose?
You were picking the four losers, yeah. Yeah, pick the four losers.
Because it's a bit more value. If I think the favourites are going to win, what am I supposed to do? So, that just goes to show you can't win in the world. And do you know what, right? During this World Championship, I got a real good insight into a little bit. And now you learn all the time, certainly when you're working like in the social media game as such. And I think my strike rate was mightily impressive. It was something like 81%, or it might have been 79% in the end, strike rate of success. But no one came and said anything when you win the 81%. But then the second you have a look, you like get 30 messages like, you got that one wrong. So hang on a minute, I'm like 81% and you're picking out the 19 that didn't. I'm not going to be 100% here. That's why they call my prediction. So
if you were 100%, Matt, you wouldn't be sat here doing a podcast with me. You'd be on an island in Barbados, a multimillionaire, because you could just predict everything that was going to happen. You know, you'd be like, a fortune teller if you could do that. It's impossible to do that with any sport. So I think you did pretty well. I actually didn't do as well as normal. I'm pretty good myself. I normally have a pretty good insight into it. You know, I kind of tipped Gary Anderson early. He went out early and then he just didn't feel like... I did tip Doherty twice when he won because I'm a big fan of him, actually, having watched him. Good temperament, nice, smooth action. And he was one that you thought, he can upset a few people here. So that was interesting. But... fair play to you on the picks that you did. A great World Championship and a great winner.
My mind's doing that thing, you know, where you're saying one thing and I'm thinking about 20 other things.
Mm.
And I'm just thinking there, you're actually on holiday a week before we go film Rate My Hockey Series 3. Is that because you need to be relaxed before we go? No, I mean, traditionally, I thought you'd have a holiday after a week with me and like you need to...
So who would even choose this schedule that I literally get back late Saturday night and have to leave first thing Monday morning for Rate My Hockey for a week with you and Andy where we travel the country? I clearly can't pack twice. Well, I kind of could have done, but so I'll be getting back late Saturday night. I'll have stuff to wash. I'll need to repack. I'm straight on the road. So I'm hoping maybe I turn up as chilled Andy rather than relaxed Andy. Who knows what's going to happen. But Series 3 is being filmed next week, one way or the other, with the three of us. And by God, it's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good.
I think one of the things that really excites me about Series 3 is we've actually sat down and planned even more of it this time. Normally we go, right, we're going to that venue. This is what we're going to do. This time we've actually gone, right, how can we make it better? What can the transitions be? And we've actually had a proper content plan this time for it. So we're going to make even better episodes. If you're a fan of Rate My Hockey, this one's going to be brilliant.
And this comes from that. You've been given more time. Our videographer and editor has been given more time. I've been given more time. You take the three of us, you give us more time, we can make better episodes and we can also make better content. We've got lots of time in the studio book this year. You know, we are going to make some amazing darts content, as we are doing already, but it's only going to get better. This is a journey. We said that from the start. We started with me and you and an iPhone. It progressed to me and you with a camera that we couldn't operate. Then we got microphones. We never got them to work properly. You know, and finally we got a videographer, but he was only part-time. And then things, and so things have got better. And if you do, it's one of them things. In 5 years' time, we'll look back at some of the early stuff we did and go, oh my goodness, have you seen this? You know, we dropped cameras. We filmed whole episodes where the microphones weren't even on. It was nonsense. We're still not the best tech guys in the world, but we've got somebody with us who's great. Everything is only going to get better. We've planned it this time. We've got more time together. We've changed a category. We're going to have different, it's going to be edited slightly differently. We're only going to get better. So if you're already enjoying, you're already enjoying the content, it's only going to get better, mate. It's only going to get better. And that's why it's exciting. And it is exciting. We're going to parts of the country I've not been to before. That's interesting. You know, we don't know until we walk through the door what these venues are going to be. We have them planned. We know where we're going. The itinerary's booked, as you're well aware of. You've probably lost yours by now, but that's okay because you'll be following us. And we don't know what we're going to find. And that's the exciting bit. What are we going to walk into? Are we going to walk into somewhere that we go, oh, Radmore Farm's no longer, you know, right up there. Legends is no longer right up there because this is the place. Are we going to find one in Series 3? We'll find out.
And if you think we should find one, if you think there is somewhere better out there, YouTube@missiondarts.com. Let us know. We will come and film it.
And thanks to everybody, by the way, for the comments, because lately the stuff we've been putting out, we've had some phenomenal comments. A lot of people saying how much they're loving the channel, how much they're loving the content, how much they're loving the coaching series, and then it's helping their game. Look, we love reading that. We know there's always going to be some negativity. We know we're not going to please everybody. You know, we've seen comments saying, well, this wouldn't work for Lou Littler. It's not aimed at Lou Littler. Yeah. So thank you for all the positivity. That gives us a buzz. And we do read, we say this every time, we read every single comment. So whether it's on a podcast, it's on a coaching video, it's on a Rate My Hockey, we will read your comment. And sometimes, obviously, we read them out as well. So thank you.
I think one of the things that's really been fulfilling about the comments, and if any of you are in here have put these in, thank you for those, is I've spent a lot of my life coaching, teaching coaches. So I'm very, very passionate about my coaching, as Andy will testament to. I'm like, well, we can't do that. And I am so fine-tooth combed with everything. And there's a few comments, and you know, some of them was like, I really like this because like you're giving me the information. So they're called coaching points within the industry. And like, we'll plan out a video and I'm like, no, we can't do that. There's not enough coaching points. We either got to put more coaching points in or that can't be in. And what I like is people are recognizing that. I'm not going to call out people that are doing it, but there is a lot of trash content out there on this topic on YouTube of people either getting it wrong or telling you what you shouldn't do rather than what you should. Yeah. And people don't want to know what you shouldn't do because I might not be doing that. Tell me what I should be doing. So I'm glad that people are seeing that.
Absolutely, Matt. And we've said from the start, we will cover every topic that we know about. We're not going to start bullshitting. We're not going to start talking about stuff we know nothing about. You know, we're not going to start talking about what the internal workings are of an electronic scoreboard. We don't know. Yeah. But how to coach dart players, how to play darts, how to do a Rate My Hockey, all the stuff that we've got between us, about 30 years of experience, we're going to share that with everybody. Some people just want to hear the funny stories, Matt. I've seen comments saying, please do a video just of your funny stories, your stories on tour. You know, other people just want the coaching. You know, they just want to know, how can I play better? Some people just want the Rate My Hockey. Some people just want to listen to the podcast like this in the car. We want to appeal to everybody. And with 30 years experience, we know we can. And we're not going to start talking about stuff we know nothing about.
Do you have your list available for you? Do you know when I come up with ideas and I say, Andy, put this on the list, do you have the list with you while you're away?
I believe it's on my phone somewhere, yes.
Okay. Do you know you were saying, like, at one point, certainly during the busy periods, you would like to increase the amount of days in which content was released?
Yes.
Tour Tales. Where we sit and we talk about time on the tour, funny stories, interesting stories, and we release that every Friday at 6 o'clock. You get Tour Tales. I can guarantee you now, people are responding in the comment section going, oh, I'm subscribing for some Tour Tales.
Tour Tales. We might have to kind of work out whether that's a podcast or whether that's a, you know, main channel. The reason, guys, that we're moving the podcast onto its own channel is so we can do more stuff like this. We can do some highlights of the podcast on there, and it doesn't get mixed in with the other content that we create for the YouTube channel. You know as much as I do, Matt, we want to put out as much content as we possibly can. And if we can come up with a Tour Tales, I'm sure it'd be a series. The thing with us is that we come up with ideas and they're series. They're not just, oh, there's one video, Matt. It's like, oh, right, there's another 10 episodes. You know, we've got a list at the moment of about 40 to 50 things, of which about 10 of them are long series. So we've enough content in our heads for the next 20 years. You know, there's lots of fantastic stuff that's going to come out in 2025. But it's only going to get better. And I love that. You know, you've just come up with that. And while we've been talking, Tour Tales. We're not going to be short of content there, Matt. We've already said we could write a book on this. You know, I did the BDO tour for a year and then half a year in the PDC. You've done the PDC for what, 10 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's enough content there alone for a huge series. So do get in the comments. Would you like a Tour Tales? Tales of the Darts Tour. Might have to omit some of the names.
Yeah, that's probably the bit, isn't it? Or just hide them a little bit. So Have Hisnell went out one day.
I love it. We kind of finished on the World Championship there, and I kind of wanted to lead that on, if that's okay, to what impact that has had on the Premier League picks. And clearly, it's had a pretty big impact with a certain Mr. Dobie game.
Do you know when you have that, you do the quiz, and you've got 20 questions in the quiz, and they're all worth 1 point each. And then when you get to the 20th question, it's worth 50 points. And you think, what's the point in answering the other 19? If it all matters, that's how the World Championship felt for me. Because when we look at the season of someone like Nathan Aspinall, for example, never really got beyond the second round of any of the big TV events. And, you know, 31st on the yearly rankings, on the yearly Order Merit. That includes a quarterfinal at the World Championship that boosted it, where he never played anyone who averaged more than mid-80s. One of them was in the 70s. And then got himself in. So, I mean, I love Nathan Aspinall. It's his third Premier League in a row. He ticks a lot of boxes. But on the same aspect, did he really warrant that selection?
And that's a great opening question. And I saw a quote. Now, I've obviously been on holiday a few days, but I saw a two-word quote as to why Nathan Aspinall was in. And I don't know who this came from. And it said,
Mr. Brightside?
No, it said, well, it said stage presence. Now, to me, that means he's got the best crowd walk-on song. We're not going to say he's got the best walk-on because we've talked about that before. But if you want to get the crowd going and the Premier League is coming to Manchester, can you imagine Mr. Brightside and Nathan Aspinall, you know, without Mr. Brightside and Nathan Aspinall in Manchester? Has that been a big influence, Matt?
It could be, but I will also say, and this would never happen, by the way, and the player wouldn't go for it. It would possibly borderline disrespectful. Now, if, for example, you was uncertain on who to play in that position, You could just say to Mike Dedecker, right, Mike Dedecker, you're going to be in the Premier League, but we want you to walk on to Mr. Brightside. Because it doesn't change. Nathan doesn't make Mr. Brightside Mr. Brightside. He doesn't make it any better. It's the song's doing the work. That is pressing play of somebody else's work, and that's doing the job. So you could quite easily say, right, Mike Dedecker, you can play, but you walk on songs Mambo number five.
Whatever it is. Which, by the way,
is the worst song ever made. Mambo number five.
Mambo number five.
Closely followed by, remember that Dance Monkey?
So here's my theory, and I might be shot down in flames here in the comments below, but my theory is thus: it's a exhibition tournament, it's a money making machine, and Nathan Aspinall's from Manchester, Chris Dobie's from Newcastle, Wayne Price is from Wales, Luke Humphries is down south, MVG's from Holland, Stephen Bunting's from Liverpool area. There's no crossover. It's almost like they've picked eight venues and eight players from that area. I know it's not that simple, but there isn't anybody north of Manchester unless you put Chris Dobie in. But yet there's a Premier League in Newcastle. You know, there's a Liverpool Premier League now. Stephen Bunting's from close to that area, and he's a Liverpool fan. That's what it feels like to me, Matt. And I might be miles off, but I'm pretty sure Chizzy, Johnny Clayton, Damon Hetter are sat at home thinking, how did I not get in that? Well, hang on a minute, Johnny. You're from Wales, as is Gezi. Chizzy, you've had a pretty, with the majors, not done a lot this year, and you've had lots of Premier League opportunities. And you're also from St. Helens, as is Stephen Bunting. And Damon Hetter, I think he's the most unfortunate not to get in, personally. And I know you'll probably have your own theory. So there's my theory chucked out there as to how those players have got
okay,
in.
Okay, right. Let's. Do you know that game, like word association, where I say, like, banana, and it goes to you?
Yeah, I'd say yellow. Yeah,
and I go Dave Chisnell, and we do that sort of thing, right? We're going to do it now. We're going to play Premier League stupidity. We're going to play the game, and again, join in the comment section below. And with this, we're going to play Premier League stage presence. So we've got Nathan Aspinall with his Mr. Brightside. I'm going to go first, and then you're going to throw one back at me, and we're going to keep going with the stupidity antics until we run out with the players that are in the Premier League. I'm going to go first. Chris Dobie being from Newcastle, when he hits a 180, he has to collect his darts, walking to the board, doing an Alan Shearer goal celebration of the arm up in the air.
Now, all right. So Stephen Bunting gets rid of his current walk-on and goes back to the one from Family Guy, where he gives it birds a word every time he hits at 180. He has to give it a bit of that.
Okay, I'm going to go with Stephen Bunting. And when they're playing Liverpool, he has to play with the wig on. And every time Gerwin Price celebrates a 180, he comes on and goes, calm down, calm down, calm down.
Right, so we're clearly playing the game now as to how silly this can get, can't we? So Michael Van Gerwen, every time he hits the big fish, chips out 170, has to turn around and say, I've got nowhere, but I don't care.
Okay. Luke Littler has to play the game on his knees, with trainers on his knees, and become even Luke Littler. Even Littler.
Anybody that Luke Littler beats in the Premier League, he has to take him out for a favourite kebab that night.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. How about every time someone takes out the 170, they have to slap their opponent around the face with a fish?
Oh, or every time Gerwin Price hits a 180, he gets slapped around the face with a leak.
Every time Luke Humphries gets beat, he has to get the hump. and like proper like rage and like smash up the stage.
Oh,
and,
yeah, he has, Maybe the players have to imitate another player. So when, because Luke Humphries doesn't really do much on stage, when he does win a leg, he has to give it the go-win prize every time. And every time go-win prize wins a leg, he just has to be Luke Humphries. No emotion.
See how, you see how, like, we should be involved in Premier League. So if they want a bit of entertainment.
Look how interesting they could make it.
Yeah. Like, imagine that now, like, Luke Humphries. You know, someone takes out the 170 against him. They slap Luke Humphries around the face with a fish. He smashes up the stage. Yeah. Bunting comes on. Calm down. It's brilliant.
Anybody that loses 7-0 has to pour the water over their head on stage.
See?
In embarrassment.
Brilliant, isn't it?
You know?
It just works itself.
Yeah. We could just go on and on, couldn't we? It's easy, isn't it?
Premier League done. That's nailed. That's 16 weeks of entertainment right there.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, anybody that loses 7-0, the following week has to join the cheerleaders on stage for the dance.
Full outfit.
They have to be full outfit, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorted.
Yeah.
Barry, if you're watching, these ideas are good.
We are available for... now, as if Barry Earns sat at home like, oh yeah, I've just got to put my Mission Dark podcast on today. Oh, yeah. Make sure I've subscribed to the new Mission Darts podcast YouTube channel as well, so I don't miss it when it switches over there in 2 weeks.
In a couple of weeks. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So who's your, you know, say the same. Who do you think is the most unfortunate? Who do you think was number 9 in the pecking order?
Well, I don't need to think about that. I think we can see the answer. The first World Series event, Michael van Gerwen pulled out, didn't want to go, replaced by Peter Wright. Who do you think number 9 might have been in the Premier League running? Answers the question for you, doesn't it? It was Peter Wright.
Okay.
It was Peter Wright.
Yeah.
So we'll fast forward. We'll move on from the Premier League. We've already got that sorted. Stephen Bunting, he's calmed down. The Alan Shearers, the lot. So that's already done. I'm going to move on to a topic to get your opinion on this. So I've been doing my Q School reports, and on my Q School report, I suggested that Q School should be seeded, which got mixed opinions. Now, before I go into my full reasons as to why and how, because that's a different conversation, how does it happen and the whys, should Q School be seeded?
Well, the first thing that came into my mind is it not currently in a way that the ones losing their card get to go in later?
That's not so much seeding. That's just like differentiating a bit, because actually when you get to that round of 128, there is nothing, is there? It's just an open draw.
So what do you mean by seeded? You're the seed on a board?
So
is
I think
what
we
you
have,
mean?
I think we have one seed per board. Now, with that, the reason being...
So, 32 seeds.
So, I've been covering Q School.
Okay.
And with that, we're having people win with 50s and 60 averages based on the draw, while you've got people going out with 90s and 95s. Now,
seeing that,
we need to remember what Q School is. Q School is not a jolly up with your mates. It's not a yearly holiday at the darts. It is where ambitious amateurs, professional players are trying to get a card to serve their living. It's their livelihood. And I get why people do it. If I could pay £500 and go for a trial with Man United, with Ryan Giggs being the coach, I would 100% go do it, even though I'm never going to play for Man United. I would do it. But so I get why people are doing it. But I think in the current system, it messes around with people's livelihood a little bit, because it inflates the draw. So there's more draws and it randomizes it a lot more. And we see situations where we don't get the best players on the Pro Tour. And that's what the challenge is. And that's why Q School was originally existed.
Right. And I've spoken about this before, and I'm not answering your question. Sorry, I'm not. I'm off on a little bit of a tangent, but I'd like to see 4 players go through from Q School, 4 players only, and the Challenge Tour, instead of 2 players getting a card, 16 players get a card. Because that's how most sports work. If I'm the best player in the world right now without a card, and I get the flu, I don't get to play on the Pro Tour because I'm too ill to go to Q School. That is not fair. I could then play the Challenge Tour every event, win a couple, and end up third at the end of the year and not get a card. That's not fair.
800 players or over 800 players signed up for Q School. Now, from that pool of 800 players, 4 days will decide 2 years of their life for 30 players.
Yeah.
For the rest of those 800 players, 1 year will be decided over 2 players. A year system using these players, two.
It doesn't make sense, Matt.
Players over 4 days.
Yeah.
30 odd cards. It should be the other way round.
And as you've just said, the two best players there may well draw each other day one. So one of them gets beat and gets no points. They may draw each other again day two. There's no reason why not. And it could happen again. It's not fair. You're right. You can have a player averaging 50 or 60 that ends up getting a load of points because he gets 4 easy draws and gets through. And you might have somebody averaging 100 that goes out first round. Yeah. It's not fair. A one-year system that plays multiple events. I think they've played 4 events, don't they, over 2 days on the challenge.
They played 20 across the season, I believe. So it might be 24.
Yeah. You know, that's a phenomenal amount of events. And that really does bring the cream to the crop. And you've only got to look at last year's. You've only got to look at Connor Scott coming through that system. You know, perhaps didn't do quite as well at the Worlds as we thought he would have done, but certainly showed himself on TV as to the player that he is because he's proved it. Now, the players that got their tour cards last year, we're not going to name them all, but a lot of them didn't even qualify for the Worlds.
Yeah.
So it says it right. That I don't understand that. There's some clever people in the PDC, and that doesn't make sense to only give two cards over 20 tournaments. 20 tournaments. And so for me, I think the Challenge Tour needs an overhaul. I think the money should be bigger. I think you should be able to make a living from the Challenge Tour. That's my personal opinion. Therefore, it doesn't become do I work or do I go Challenge Tour in the hope that I get enough points, but there's only top two, so maybe I'll give that one a miss because I can't afford to stay away. Hang on a minute. If I go to a Challenge Tour event, I can win 10 grand. That'll pay for the next 6 months. You know, I always compare to other sports, Matt, and in other sports, a secondary tour is still, you can still make a living.
So I'm going to give you my philosophy on how it should be. We'll ignore the seeding at Q School question for now. This is how I believe it should be.
It's a tough one.
So you go to Q School, and from Q School, if you win a day, you go straight to the Pro Tour. 2 year card, winning a day. At the moment, you've got the Order of Merit. Now, the Order of Merit system at the end of it is the Challenge Tour. The top 128 players are your Challenge Tour. Now, if 128 players don't enter, we go 1-2, and we keep working down the Q School list until the full 128 players, because you say about it being a secondary tour, the Challenge Tour does not replicate the Pro Tour. 2 events a day, 12-hour days, that's not the Pro Tour. So let's have a 128 player field. Now, at the end of the year, when we go, right, we've got 26 cards available this year. Brilliant. Your top, it will be 18 players. You're now Pro Tour card holders. The 18 players that come off go on the Challenge Tour and are locked in. So you don't have a hard out anymore. It's a soft fall. You go from the Pro Tour to the Challenge Tour. Not like now where it's a hard out. You lose it, bosh. See you later.
Yeah, gone. Yeah.
So Challenge Tour needs to be 128 players. So instead of having 2 a day, just merge the prize money to make 1 tournament. So instead of having £2,500 to the winner, it's now £5,000 to the winner. 1 tournament, not 2. Replicate the Pro Tour. Get the players used to what they're about to go and play. Get them used to all that environment. So that will make your Challenge Tour better. Q School, you're trying to get onto the Challenge Tour, or you can buy the golden ticket to put you straight through to the Pro Tour. I'm not that keen on people picking up points, like you say, and, you know, potentially using the draw to pick up points and then getting cards. And that's why we see some people get to the tour and they're off it in 2 years and they never really land a blow. It's not good for the player. It's not good for the system.
Yeah. And I hate the fact that number 65 in the world is now gone. He's back to Q School in the same position as a person that's just picked up a set of darts last week and decides to have a go. That's not right. That has to be a softer fall than that. And you're right. That person should automatically be given one of the 128 places on the Challenge Tour and perhaps even be a seed on the Challenge Tour. You know, I might even go further enough to say that, you know, depending on where you finished. If you finished 128th on the Pro Tour, very last, you won nothing, it's not fair that the person who's finished 65th and might have won, I don't know what the number is, £50,000, whatever it is over a two-year period, ends up in the same boat. You know, I think it needs looking at. I think it needs looking at, and I think you're making a very, very valid point.
Yeah, Challenge Tour needs to be used more. Now, the reason I said about the seeding originally is because I believe the players coming off the tour should be seeded one per board. Because I think, for me, looking at this as a piece of content, as an editorial piece sort of thing, the story writes itself. These are the players that was on the Pro Tour. Are you good enough to beat the bottom end of the tour? If you are, you can take their place. Can you take their place? Can you come and take it off? Because at what point has someone lost a tour card? Now, the numbers would suggest they lose it at the end of December when they get reset to zero if they get a card back in January. But I don't believe a player's lost a tour card until the end of Q School because you've got the chance to defend it at Q School. And I think that gets lost because when we look at it as, you know, a piece of content, everyone sees it as they're all in the same boat, they're all level. But I look at that and think Mervyn King hasn't lost his card yet because there's not been one single Pro Tour where Mervyn King's not been a tour card holder. So how has he lost it? And if he goes and gets his card straight back, how did he ever lose his tour card when there's never been a Pro Tour without Mervyn King as a card holder?
Am I right in thinking, Matt, if he does go and get his card back, he starts again at zero?
Zero, yeah.
Again, that feels weird.
It is quite a nice situation because when you've had a bad year, you're not defending that anymore. You're not defending a bad year. So you're going in on zero. Everything's gain. You win one round. Great, that goes on the rankings. The worst thing I ever had was like, 1 year I went to the UK Open, I got to round four, but I was defending around five. So even though I got to round four and I'm like, this is great, I've got a good amount of cash, I'm losing ranking money for getting to round four. And when you're like where I am in the rankings or where I was, which was around that 60 mark, those sort of little changes, they hurt because...
Well, I was just thinking, imagine you had a really, really good first year and a terrible second year, but you ended up 64th. Now everything in year three, you're defending everything from year one. That's just a nightmare. That is a nightmare scenario. One thing I was going to ask you that, again, you'll know the answer to, and I'm sure that the listeners will want to know, is we see players playing in Pro Tours that haven't got tour cards, and some will be from the Challenge Tour, and some will be, I believe, from the Order of Merit from Tour School, as it used to be. Do you understand how this works? So, for example, there's 128 players in the Pro Tour with a card and one person pulls out, who does that invitation then go to? Who's the first person on the list, Matt?
Okay, so there's two answers. Answer number one, is it goes to number one on the Challenge Tour. If number one's not available, it goes to number two to three. And they'll phone you and they'll phone down the list until they get to somebody who can fill that space.
Right.
Now, there's another answer to that. Should it drop down to number 72 on the Challenge Tour? And number 72 on the Challenge Tour goes and wins the Pro Tour, they automatically become number one, regardless of the ranking.
Right.
Yeah.
That's something similar to what happened to Krzysztof Ratajski back then. Krzysztof
Ratajski rule, yes. And that was the reason the rule came around, because Ratajski won a pro tour but couldn't get into any other events because he was lower down the order of merit on the challenge tour. So the rule came in that if you won a pro tour, you jump that qualification system and you become priority.
So how has it been, and maybe I've dreamt this, but how has it been in the past that international players have got in that? And in particular, I'm thinking of Fallon Sherrick, who got in quite a few times last year to pro tours, but wasn't very high on the challenge tour. So how did she get in?
So
didn't they used to look back at, on the order of merit for Q school, if you finished, if they gave 12 cars and you finished 13?
Oh, that's well old. That
is, that gone?
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'll show my age there.
The way Fallon got in was when they go to Germany, and next year they're going to Holland for pro tours, a lot of the players don't want to travel out there from the UK for a couple of events. So certainly those players that are high up, they've qualified for things, you get 16 to 25 players not go. And, you know, we're still in the day and age where some people can't afford to. Some people don't want to have 2 days off work, or 4 days, travel days as well. You don't want the time off work, the expense of going over there for ultimately a risk. You know, so a lot of the time you get a lot of pullouts. So with that, Fallon was already over there for the women's series. That was a couple of days beforehand. And she was high enough in the order of merit and available to go and willing to go. So that's why she got in on those events. But yeah.
So I'm guessing that the early challenge tour events are incredibly important.
They are the most important events of the year, because if you do well, you win a couple of those first challenge tours, you get what I call the golden ticket. Which means you can play the Pro Tour, the Challenge Tour, the Super Series, you can play WDF.
Wow.
You are restricted to nothing.
Wow. So you're one of the few people that can play the Pro Tour and still play Modus, because you don't have a tour card, and play the Challenge Tour, and potentially, if you were young enough, play the Development Tour as well. It is possible to play all of them.
You've got two chances to make the World Championship because you've got the Pro Tour and the Challenge Tour. You've got two chances to make the Grand Slam of Darts because you've got the Pro Tour and the Challenge Tour. The only thing you're frozen out of is European tours under the current rules. So that makes it a little bit harder to make the Worlds via the Players' Championship. But tell that to Wesley Plaisier and Connor Scutt this year, who just bossed it.
I was just going to say, aren't there some Euro Tour qualifiers?
They used
to
be.
So they're only tour card now. You can't get in a Euro Tour if you don't have a tour card. Is that correct?
No, yeah.
Right. Okay. That's really interesting. That's a good insight there into, how important are these first few challenge tours to people make or break their next couple of years. And like you say, somebody gets that opportunity, gets a pro tour and goes and wins one. Life-changing.
Yeah. It's exciting times of the year. Lots to cover.
It is. I feel like we could talk about the challenge tour and our ideas for it. There's, you know, a lot. I think there'll be more to come out of that.
We could talk about it all day, but Andy, you've got a holiday to go and live here. I think I can... See why you don't take this is out there, you know, because
she would be
on your back, right? Like, come on, we've got to go have some sangria.
Yeah, well, it's an hour later here than it is there, and we will be going out for some food soon. Get a bit of after sun on, looking at the state of my face.
You've got the badge the whole time as well on the front there. I see. get the badge.
Well, it's not a mission, unfortunately. As you know, it's very rare I don't have a mission top on, but I kind of didn't feel I'd be playing much darts in Mallorca. It's not a hotbed for darts, shall we say. And even if there is a board, it's likely to be a soft tip board. So we won't do that. We'll just remind the viewers and listeners at this stage to please make sure you subscribe to the new podcast channel. Otherwise, one week you're going to turn up and we're not going to be where you expect us to be, because we'll be on the new channel. So please make sure you subscribe to that. As well as that, obviously, please make sure you subscribe to the main channel, where the content is changing all the time. We're getting more content. Cool. The days are gone, Matt, where it was one video a week. Do you remember those days? One video a week it was, if we were lucky. Now it's getting to every day, which is fantastic. But yeah, I look forward to seeing you. Well, when this goes out, I'll be seeing you the very next day.
Yeah.
And we'll be going to
bring my car with me as well, Andy, because maybe we could get a bit of a game in.
Oh, now that's exciting. We should make sure.
Score predictions in the comments. Let's say we played best of 11. Let's say we played first to six. Get your score predictions in the comments. If we can find a way to do this, we'll pop the score in, maybe in a short, so you can.
Can I scare you then, Matt? Can I scare you? Because the one thing I haven't mentioned, you know, I don't like talking about myself. Yeah, you know, I don't like talking about myself, but I actually won man of the match at Super League last weekend, just under an 80 average, a 4-0 win. That's 280 averages in two games. I don't know where it's coming from.
There we go. That solves Andy, don't it? Like, we're just muting. No one wants to hear to Andy's Super League stories, do they? Luckily, I've got the control of the things here, so I can mute him and say, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.